Welcome to Rider Club Radio, the podcast all about Kamen Rider. I'm Jeff.
And I'm Liam.
And this week we're going to be talking about three super cool, awesome tokusatsu shows. This week we watched Kamen Rider Ghost Episode 29, Animal Sentai Juojur Episode 12, and Kamen Rider Amazons Episode 4.
Hey, Jeff.
Yes.
You want to hear what happened on Ghost this week?
Boy, do I!
Oh, boy, let's do it. So Makoto, they got his body back. He's back, and he's like, well, it's time to take care of my business in the real world, which is...
He doesn't say that. He just made that up.
He's like, it's time to get back to the shit that I was doing here. And he doesn't...
At the beginning of the episode, real quick, it says, Alan and I went into the ghost world, and we successfully rescued Makoto. You had nothing to do with that. You didn't rescue Makoto at all. He rescued himself.
Makoto woke up, picked up an icon that was super powerful, and then waltzed out, and you just happened to watch.
Yeah. You were there.
So he gets back, and this girl sees her dead father walking around. Ego revives her dead father as, like, a businessman to work for Deep Connect. And she, the father's daughter just happens to see him walking around in public. So she goes to the ghost squad.
The ghost squad.
The ghost squad. And she says, you gotta get into Deep Connect to help me find my dad. Because there's something suspicious going on here. There's probably a ghost involved. And they say, okay, we'll go check it out. And Houdini goes in and possesses her. And he's like, hey, you guys, ghosts don't exist. This can't be true. Ghosts don't exist.
And then there's a hilarious moment where Takara's like, I'm a ghost.
And Onari goes, you're a ghost, Houdini. You are a ghost right now. And Houdini's like, well, my warning still stands. Maybe it's best if she doesn't see the dad.
I love that. He's like, well, still.
Yeah, I do. But they go anyways. But meanwhile, the real plot, Takoyaki Lady is buying Alan some new clothes. She's like, Alan, you've come so far since we first met. Here's some new clothes. And Alan wears them once and then throws them away.
They look terrible.
They really look bad. He looks like a drifter.
They're so awful. Yeah, he looks like more of a hobo than Eiji Hino from Kamen Rider
Rose. He looks like a guy who...
And Eiji Hino is a hobo. He's literally a hobo.
He looks like a guy who... plays acoustic guitar in the subway, but like that's his job. It's not like a side thing.
Oh, if any of our listeners play acoustic guitar in the subway, I don't have any change. Stop it.
I don't care if it's heart-meltingly beautiful. I have somewhere to be.
I don't carry change. I can't put my fucking credit card in.
Yeah,
there.
You could, but no one's
that
nice.
I mean, I could,
nice.
But I'm just gonna cancel it later. So it's exactly like not putting my card in there.
It's the thought that counts.
Liam's sick, by the way, everybody, in case you're wondering why he sounds like a Muppet.
If you notice, my voice is 12 octaves lower. That's because I'm kind of sick this week. But I'm still here. I dragged myself.
So what happens after he gets
new clothes? He gets the new clothes. He throws it away. And Onari acts as a hilarious distraction, and so they sneak into Deep Connect.
Hilarious?
I thought it was actually quite funny, but I'll get into that later.
I didn't actually find his hilarious antics hilarious.
So they get into Deep Connect, but they get fought out. And they decide to regroup and come back later. And Alan goes back to the old lady, and the old lady gives Alan another fucking speech about following your heart, because Alan is apparently still not ready to follow his goddamn heart. And then she lays onto his shoulder and falls asleep. And, yeah, she falls asleep. So they go back to the Deep Connect building.
It looks like she's fucking dead, is the thing. And they play it like she's dead with like really soft music. And
did you see the end of the episode? She drops the takoyaki box. She's fucking dead.
Yeah, she died
so
then.
So they go back to the Deep Connect building, and they fight their way back in. And the little girl catches up with her father, but obviously the father's a Ganma, who just looks like her father. So he looks at her, and he's like, whatever, I don't fucking know who this girl is. And he walks into the room. And she's like, oh, my dad. Oh. And Houdini's like, I told you, you shouldn't have fucking did it. And Alan decides that he doesn't care about this shit. He decides to go back to the takoyaki lady because she said that she wanted to paint. So she says, I'll buy you some painting supplies, takoyaki lady. He goes back, and he's got an armful of painting supplies. And the takoyaki lady...
He's running like a fucking... like a kid... who's headed to see his favorite fucking Nana in a 1980s children's movie. Like, he's just this big goofy smile on his face. bouncing up and down, and it just keeps cutting back to her fucking corpse on a bench.
Yeah, little does he know, his favorite Nana is dead. And that's the end of the episode. She dies. So, Jeff, what did you think of Kamen Rider Ghost episode 29?
You know what? I'm going to break a long-running record here. I don't know how many episodes it is of somebody on a podcast not liking what they're watching in a row that's okay. The record, but I actually really like this episode.
Me too. I thought it was the funniest episode they've aired so far.
Really?
Both intentionally and otherwise.
Well, why don't you tell me your viewpoint then, since you have such strong feelings.
You want me to start? Okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
I thought it was very funny when Onari did his distraction. I thought, like, at first it was like, oh, he's wearing a silly costume, whatever. But the shit he says, he's like, oh, I am a youth full of worldly desires. I like to waste my time on rock music. And he's like,
it was enjoyable. I didn't, like, laugh or anything, but I wasn't, like, angry about it.
It cracked a smile out of me. And then there's the bit where Igor comes out and he's like, ah, I'm a fucking tomahawk monster. And Onari's like, oh, it's this guy again. And smacks him.
Akari.
Did I say Onari?
Yeah.
Well, Akari's like, oh, it's this guy.
It's still silly that their names are so similar.
It's quite similar. And she just smacks him again. I thought that was also really funny. I nearly died of laughter when the old lady died. Because I was watching...
I guess we know what kind of person Liam is.
I have to explain myself. I was watching the scene, and she gives the whole speech, and then she leans on Alan's shoulder, and she closes her eyes. And I thought to myself in that moment... Wouldn't it be so funny if she gives that speech and then leans on him and just fucking dies? And then he's running back and she's lying on the bench and I was like, oh my god, she's not dead, is she? It's not actually gonna happen that way. And then she drops the takoyaki and I pissed myself in my chair. I was laughing so hard.
I feel like Rider Club Radio could really benefit from being like a video series, so that I could have looked directly into the camera with this exasperated fucking look on my face while you were describing laughing at an old lady's
You're
death.
You're just gonna have to imagine it, and I know it's outrageous, but it's who I am. I'm me. I'm no one but me.
What is wrong with you? I will say that they handled her death, she might not be dead. That might be, like, the big reveal next episode, that she's still alive.
Maybe they'll play it for a gag, like, she'll be like, oh, I was alive the whole time. I hope not, I hope she's
that
dead.
That would be funny, if it turned out that she was just alive, and they built that up and everything for nothing. That's a funny way to do a build-up and bait and switch.
Ghost, just make fun of how shitty it is. Just make a joke out of it. Just fucking, that's where all you can go from here.
I liked her speech. It might be because I'm a failing artist right now, and I feel her. I feel where she's coming from.
Her speech is like, sometimes in life shit happens, you know?
Yeah, sometimes in life shit doesn't go your way, and it's fucking awful, but hey, maybe you'll make some takoyaki. Yeah.
Maybe you can do something you enjoy. You know, that's sometimes good enough is good enough. And then you keel over and die.
Sometimes you die on a park bench.
And then you fucking bite it on a park bench, even though you're like 60-something.
But, like, they did, like, this slow, like, eye-closing close-up shot with, like, the sun beaming down on her and everything. It was a death shot, and I was like, oh my god, did she just fucking die? And then, like, the music's really quiet, and then Alan says, oh,
yeah,
she's
asleep. Yeah, that was when I chuckled at that as well.
I chuckled at that, and, like, then they all just go about their business and everything. And then at the end of the episode, she's still on the bench, and I was like, was that a real death scene?
Either that, or it's only been like an hour since we last saw her, and she's just still asleep.
Maybe she lives on that bench.
I mean, we never see her anywhere else, the stand
on
the bench.
No, we don't. She's sitting on the bench asleep at the beginning of this episode, even.
She died as she lived, with a lot of takoyaki in her hands.
That's the dumbest death scene.
It's the best.
The dumbest emotional death scene I've ever seen in my life, if that's a real death
that's
scene.
That's so good. It's so good.
It is hilarious.
It's really good. I didn't give a fuck about the A-plot in this story, the one about Alan redeeming himself. I don't care about Alan's redemption.
That's not the A-plot, that's the B-plot.
Well, it's the overarching plot. Like, the girl's...
The A-plot is the Deep Connect stuff, which was
No, the girl's dad, the whole thing about the girl's dad is gonna be over. Like, the Alan thing is...
Yeah, that's the A-plot.
Oh, fuck, I don't care. I don't care what's the A-plot, what's the B-plot. I don't care. I didn't...
Look, I'm gonna give you an F plot on this fucking episode.
I'm gonna give you a shut the fuck up, you asshole.
That's a good one. That's a real good one.
I cannot believe that Alan is still flip-flopping after what must have been like, what's it been, like 15 episodes?
Well, he's not flip-flopping, though. He's not evil anymore. He's not thinking about doing bad things. He's just unsure what he wants to do with his life now, which is pretty understandable in his situation.
Maybe you can understand it. Maybe it's realistic. But it's also realistic to work a 9-to-5 job until you die, and that doesn't make a good TV show.
Hey, Tusk works a 9-to-5 job.
We'll talk about
great,
the good stuff
so...
later. It's just that they've been on this for so long on Alan. Just like,
I don't really think that this is flip flopping. I will agree that Alan's part in this series right now is painfully boring. But I don't agree that it's flip flopping. All right,
I'll concede it's not flip flopping. He's definitely not going to go back to the Gamma.
He's like blowing in the wind. He's just
wafting. I can't give a fuck about Alan. And I only really liked the A plot because it had funny bits, and also it seems like it's going to lead somewhere real, like real emotional. It kind of did at the end of this episode. There's a bit of a payoff, but I imagine next episode's going to be better. It's like it was written by someone else.
It really is, isn't it? It's like it was shot by someone else too. Like there's some really decent cinematography in this episode.
I never noticed cinematography. You're going to have to explain to me.
Well, it's like when Alan is standing in front of the takoyaki stand for the first time, and the old lady's like, oh, I need to, my heart is crying out for me to make you takoyaki or whatever. And then the camera pans from behind her through the takoyaki stand and then close up on Alan's face. And it was like perfect.
It's like a fucking Goodfellas shot.
It was really well done. The lighting was great. Like, the sun was over his shoulder during it. And it didn't glare on the screen or anything. It was really well done.
Yeah, that was a good shot. I will agree.
The A-plot of the episode with, like, the deep connect and everything, it seems to be moving the story towards us figuring out what the Demia Project is. Which I'm thinking.
I have a feeling I already know what the Demia Project is.
Is it to turn the sky red?
Yeah, well, no, I think it's going to be like they give you the operating system, and it's going to be like Windows 10, where they really, really force it on you. Like, you just turn your computer on one day, and you have it. And then it's going to eat your soul, just like Windows 10.
It's topical.
It's topical. Yeah, don't listen to this podcast in 5 years.
You're absolutely not horribly dating this podcast.
We didn't date it when we said, we watched Kamen Rider Ghost episode 29 this week.
We could have randomly chose these episodes that came out at the same time chronologically at a later date.
I could randomly choose a new host right now, and I pick someone who isn't you.
You know what? Thank you.
I'm
glad to be out of this fucking hellhole.
I just freed Jeff from the Rider Club radio contract. It's over.
If you look in the mirror and say Beetlejuice 3 times, you get out of your Rider Club radio contract.
Oh, shit, I didn't know that.
You have to say John Toei 3 times.
I've only worked up to saying it twice so far, actually.
It's so terrifying, isn't it? You have to have the lights off. I like this episode a lot, though, actually. Probably comparatively.
Yeah, definitely.
Because it's not like it's spectacular or anything, but it has plot moving forward and some actual characterization.
Yeah.
Like, there's this strange moment where after Takeru and Makoto are done fighting the monsters, Takeru does, like, this little pose and goes, ha! And then Makoto, like, punches his hand like they're actually friends.
Yeah, and then Ghost sees a vision of the past?
He sees shit he wasn't around for.
Yeah.
So I think he might have the ability... Well, he does have the ability because he touched somebody's soul before and saw his generic life with his wife and child.
Yeah, that's true.
So he has some sort of power, but I'm thinking that probably has something to do with the Ganmisers.
Ugh. Ganmisers, I forgot about them.
Yeah, that was a beautiful moment forgetting about them, wasn't it?
it was a nice hour.
Fuck the Ganmisers. The episode itself is fun, though. Yeah. Like, the fight scenes and choreography are actually decent in this episode.
See, I couldn't give a shit about the fight scenes. They felt like they were just in the way, which is actually kind of nice, because it's like, when they're fighting, I'm like, no. Get this shit out of here. I want to see this story about people that's playing out before my eyes. They're doing it just this once. I can't believe it. There's a story about a girl who's sad about her dead father in this show about ghosts. I can't fucking imagine. Like, I...
You know, strangely enough, we're going to talk about Amazons eventually, but the special effects in this episode of Ghost are better than the special effects in Amazon.
Yeah, I'm sick of digital blood splatters, that's for sure.
Yeah, fucking digital-ass blood splatters. Fuck that. Anyway, we'll get to that. But you were talking about Ghost and how much you fucking love
it. Yeah, fucking, the show is a 10 out of 10. Best Heisei show ever. And show, you know, best Kamen Rider.
You fucking idiot. Just tell us what you thought about the episode.
The episode was good. It was very good. That's what I can say.
What would you give it on the Ghost scale of A to F?
The Ghost scale? Yeah. I would give this episode a B+.
Yeah, me too. I'd probably set it right about there. Hey, we're agreeing again. Doesn't that make for fucking amazing episodes?
Yeah, I was really watching...
Where we just agree the whole episode?
I was watching this episode and expecting Jeff to not like it, and maybe we'd have a debate.
Really?
Nope.
It was funny that I expected you not to like it. Especially because there's a big section of Onari acting like a jackass.
No, I actually really liked that part. Just for the line, he says, he says something like, I am full of worldly desires and rock music. Like, it's this...
He's bursting with the want of youth.
Yeah, that's it. It's like he's totally square and trying to act like what he thinks a cool young punk would act like. And it's so cool. It's really funny.
It was enjoyable. I wouldn't call it fun.
As a guy who cannot connect with young people anymore,
You're like an ancient now. Yeah, but, you're like a forebearer of this race.
Yeah, exactly. I know how you feel now. Jesus.
Oh, God. I've been called old since I was 20, so imagine that shit.
Oh, boy.
Anyway.
I'm well beyond that portal now. Jesus Christ.
Oh, my God. We're dating ourselves.
Oh, Jeff and Liam are old.
Who knew? We don't say that every fucking episode.
Yeah, just so you do know, we're not teenagers.
Ghost has surprised me this week. I really hope that it continues. Being a two-parter, I imagine it's written by the same person.
Yeah, I imagine most of Ghost episodes are... like maybe this is written by the same guy as it usually is, and he just had a flash of inspiration this week.
Well, hopefully it continues in the next week, because I'm interested to see, like, in the preview you see the girl is like, I wish I'd never tried to find my father or whatever, and I know Houdini's gonna fucking pop out and be like, I told you
so!
There's
gonna be some drama, oh boy, some real human drama. Can't wait. I just realized I don't know the name of the guy who writes Ghost, and hopefully I will never have to learn it.
I don't actually know it either. A fun fact... I made jokes at the beginning of the series about how Makoto looked like a skeleton man.
Yeah.
He looked like a dead guy with big giant bags under his eyes.
Yep.
Since he got his regular body back, he looks normal. Did they do that on purpose?
I think they started feeding him after that. Because
he does look like he's eaten now. He looks like normal color and he doesn't have giant dark bags under his eyes.
Maybe it's new makeup.
Maybe
just your imagination.
But that's a nice touch.
Yeah.
That is a nice touch. I'm thankful for that. I have actually been watching Kamen Rider O's recently, and I suddenly realized the... I don't want to say laziness. I will say laziness. The laziness of Kamen Rider Ghost.
You hesitate to use the term laziness about Ghost? You're a very...
I'm using it now.
You're a nice
100%.
Guy.
There's laziness because in Kamen Rider O's, every one of his major forms has its own fucking theme song.
Yeah.
And the theme song is named after the form.
Oh, I love those theme songs.
Like, Ratorata. Ratorata.
Yeah, whatever.
Is called Right on Right Time.
Yeah.
Ratorata.
I know, gotta keep...
All of them are named like that.
Yeah, gotta kiriba is gotta keep it up.
Yeah, that's like, it takes... care about what you're doing to put that kind of detail into something that's just going to be in the background. Meanwhile, the only characters on Ghost that has a theme is that I know of is Alan.
Yeah, wait. I can't bring Alan's theme to mind, honestly.
No, it's the, like, weird, stilted, like, dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. And then they remixed it when he became a good guy, and now it sounds... nicer. It's obvious the writer cares a hell of a lot more about Alan than they do about anybody else on the show.
I think the writer cares more about Alan than any of the audience does. Look at this.
Like I said,
look at this man.
People tend to like Alan. We actually got a message this time from somebody who said that they were either gay or bisexual, and they watch Kamen Rider Ghost like a single mother.
Oh boy.
Watches it for Alan, and apparently a lot of people do.
Well, that's like, Kamen Rider's primary audience is little kids, and its secondary audience is moms, and I guess we are its tertiary audience, just weirdos in their 20s, so, yeah.
Yeah, we're like the bottom of the barrel of the Kamen Rider audience, the shit that no one will ever care about.
Yeah, we're not a market, so I guess if you watch it like a mom, then you're one level above most people.
Yeah, I guess so, but I'm sure that's not everyone's interest in Alan, who's really interested in him, but I feel like it's most everyone's.
I mean, he's an attractive man. I'll give him... Is he? He's a handsome guy.
I think he looks weird, but I don't know what people find attractive in dudes, really, anyway.
Okay,
so.
Well, if that's what you want to say.
That's not true, either, because I'll be the first to tell you that, like, Hiroshi Fujioka was the handsomest man on earth.
Okay, but
young,
Showa handsome and Heisei handsome are two different kinds of handsome.
Well, yeah, because Showa handsome is dude handsome.
And Heisei handsome is boy handsome.
Heisei handsome is lady handsome. There's just some hot chick dudes.
Okay, well, would you like to hear some news, Jeff?
You know what? I think I'll allow it.
You'll just this once,
just
thank
this
God.
Just this once, I'll allow it.
Okay, so...
It's not fucking toy news, is it, Liam?
No, it's not toy news. Give me 10 seconds here.
He's gotta look up some new news.
So Ghost has a summer movie coming out, just like all the other Kamen Riders, and it's going to feature a brand new icon. And it's... If you're in Japan, you can vote from a list of 71 historical figures to choose who's gonna be in this TV show. So, there's a list of 71, and Jeff and I have both looked at them, and there's a lot of Japanese figures who I don't remember, like who I don't know who the fuck they're supposed to be.
I know all of them.
Yeah, who's Sanada Yukimura, huh?
A Japanese man.
Boom! Who's Julius Caesar? Can you identify this?
A Japanese man. Boom! I'm so good at this.
But there's a lot of them. Jeff, what would you say is your number one choice, though?
Oh, fuck. I didn't know you were going to ask me that, or I would have paid more attention.
Putting you on the fucking spot.
Queen Elizabeth.
You're pulling my leg.
She's what the fuck can they possibly do with Queen Elizabeth?
I don't know.
My number one is George Washington.
Of course.
George Washington was on my list of what my icons would be if I was a writer.
Yeah. They got one from my list. They got Cao Cao on here.
I know that would be your number one, motherfucker. Don't pretend.
No, it's not, actually.
Really?
My number one is James Cook. I want Captain Cook.
Oh, that would be pretty cool.
I want a sailor man.
Well, Popeye is not on the list.
No, I wanted a pirate, and Captain Cook's not really a pirate, but...
They would make him be a pirate.
They would be,
you know.
They would hit a little, the history blur would be like, Captain Cook, a famous bloodthirsty pirate who killed many, many British sailors.
Well, the thing is, the little blurbs at the bottom never paint them out to be villainous in any way, shape, or form. So
that's true.
It would be like, Captain Cook, the world's friendliest pirate.
The world's friendliest pirate searching for One Piece.
He would just transform into, like, a Monkey D. Luffy form.
Oh.
They'd be like, it's Captain Cook!
Yeah, there it is, kids. I wonder if that's what Japanese kids see pirates as now. I wonder if that's, like, the cultural perception.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. A bunch like, of... There's a fucking generation of kids in America who see ninjas as Naruto, so...
Oh, God. Don't...
Isn't
fucking
that
ever say that name to me again.
You fucking love Naruto.
No, I don't. I love it ironically, I guess.
It's sad that, like, so many people associate ninjas with Naruto now. When I was a kid, I associated ninjas with really fucking terrible B-movies that were on after midnight.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Ninja Turtles.
Ninja Turtles are not ninjas. They're ninjas by default, I guess.
They got the eye masks, they got the samurai swords.
Yeah, that's what ninjas are known for, multicolored wraps around their eyes that have holes in them.
Yeah, yeah.
I love Ninja Turtles, but no, that's not what came to mind. I watched, like, fucking, like, Enter the Ninja and...
Oh, boy.
Like, Ninja 3, The Domination.
Did you ever watch American Ninja Warrior?
American Ninja Warrior is a television show.
I know, but did you ever see it?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I saw the American Ninja Warrior is like the Americanized one where a bunch of dude bros who have no idea about the original show do the thing and fall in the water on the first thing.
Yeah.
I watched the actual Ninja Warrior with the dub.
Oh, you're the original guy.
Dude, that was like my favorite show for a long time.
I watched Most Extreme Elimination Challenge.
That show was fucking awesome.
And I would way rather watch that than the original. I think it was, what the hell was it called? Takahashi's Castle?
Or yeah, Takeshi's Castle.
Takeshi's Castle, that was it. Yeah. I would way rather watch MXC than the original.
Oh yeah, me too. But my favorite thing about Ninja Warrior would be, like, there would be somebody dressed like a giant baby trying to do the course, and they'd, like, fall in the water immediately.
I love that. It's a whole culture of humiliation in reality TV. That's what I love about Japan. Just fucking make people look like idiots.
And they choose to do that. They have to go to Mount Midoriyama in Japan dressed like a giant baby and wait in line to jump across one beam and fall in the water on national television.
Because they get to be on TV. I used to watch Unbeatable Banzuke. That was a good one.
I don't know that one.
They had it on, I don't know.
Wait,
is that
the one where they tried to fit through shapes in the wall?
No, that's Human Tetris. Unbeatable Banzuke was like an obstacle course. And it was the same thing, but they aired it in English, but they didn't do any silly shit. They didn't do any fun shit like MXC, but it was still a pretty good show.
I used to watch American Gladiators, dates me.
Yeah.
I used to watch American Gladiators.
You're such a square, Jeff.
That show was fucking awesome. They fought each other with giant rubber Q-tips over a pit. That's fucking awesome.
That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. I mean, it's no MXC, but it's pretty cool.
Aren't we supposed to be talking about Kamen Rider?
Can we stop? Can we stop talking about Kamen Rider? Can we start talking about MXC instead?
I guess we could.
Good, let's talk about Star Trek.
You don't even like Star Trek.
Yeah, I fucking hate Star Trek.
Liam is the worst person on Earth. He laughs at old ladies dying, and he hates Star Trek, so...
That's the only two things
Liam
you need
is
to
basically
know.
Hitler.
It's about on the same level.
Hitler and not liking Star Trek are pretty close. And laughing at dead grandmas is, just puts you right over.
So yeah, to summarize the last few minutes, I would like to see James Cook in Kamen Rider Ghost's summer movie.
I would like to see George Washington. They would give him an axe and play up chopping down a cherry tree.
I'd love to see Cao Cao, but they would never put a Chinese person.
They had Guan Yu Ganma.
As a villain who died, yeah.
Oh. Bringing up old fucking grudges between China and Japan.
Yeah, well, they're not fans of each other.
No. Not really. Okay, which is strange, considering they share so many legends and cultural milestones.
Yeah, well.
That's mostly due to occupation, though.
What can you do?
You share them forcefully.
So all the Kamen Rider movies from the original to 88 are being re-released in a Blu-ray box set that will cost you only, drumroll, $100.
That actually is only, compared to how much they normally cost.
That's not that bad. It's like
how many
movies
are there?
Let me check exactly. I think it's like 8 movies for $100. That's not that bad of a deal.
Not really.
Yeah, it's 8 movies.
That's not that bad.
You get Kamen Rider versus Shocker, Kamen Rider versus Ambassador Hell, Kamen Rider V3 versus Destron Monsters, Kamen Rider X 5 Riders versus King Dark, Kamen Rider 8 Riders versus Galaxy King, Kamen Rider Super 1, Kamen Rider Bakurita,
that was my favorite.
Only for $100, you get all these films.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, from the original up to Black. So I'm not gonna get it, but maybe you can.
I'm not gonna get it either because I don't understand Japanese.
Oh, that's so sad. So I have one last piece of news.
Okay, at least we have more than one this time.
Yeah, so as you know, this year, 2016, is the 45th anniversary of Kamen Rider, and they have released some t-shirts that have all the symbols of Kamen Rider on them. There's a black and white version.
What, is like a pattern?
Yeah, it's like all their belts, and it's not really stylistic, really. It's just all of them in a row, or in a bunch of rows.
Apparently that's like a style of shirts these days. I don't like it, but
yeah, me neither.
People like it.
There's some little pixely Kamen Riders. On a t-shirt, you get all the Heisei Riders. There's some icons on a t-shirt. There's a Kabuto t-shirt. But most importantly, there is a Kamen Rider original Kamen Rider, Kamen Rider Kuga, and Kamen Rider Amazon boxers that have, like, the belts on the
waist of them. That sounds pretty awesome.
And when I saw that, I clicked the link. I was going to buy them, but it's a fucking premium Bandai exclusive.
Of course. Pre-order.
Like, that, I would actually wear those if I could get my hand. Like, the Kamen Rider t-shirts are really tacky. They don't look very nice. But I would fucking wear those boxers every
Speaking
day.
Of Kamen Rider t-shirts...
Oh, here we go.
I'm selling some of the splash images from Rider Club Radio on shirts. Go to our Twitter. Twitter.com/ I'm a huge fucking whore. Give me your money.
It's at Rider Club Radio. And Jeff will be relentlessly shilling for them 24/7.
I posted them once, you asshole.
What, you should post them more if you want people to buy them.
I've gotten 2 wholesales. It's really good. The Forze one is up right now for $14. It's actually going to be 20 by the time they get to it. It's probably going to be 20 by the time they get to it.
Is O is going to be 13? Is Double going to be 12? Is Decade going to be 10? Is Fize going to be 555?
Yes.
Okay. So that's all the news I've got this week.
That's it?
Yeah.
God,
nothing really happened this
you
week.
Fucking suck!
I know.
Why don't we talk about some Super Sentai for the Super Sentai second?
Oh, thank God. It's time for the Super Sentai second. My bastion.
He's escaping from Ghost, folks.
Yeah. So, what do you have to say about this week's JoJo episode, other than that I liked it a lot?
Well, it was a Tusk-centric episode, so we got to see a little bit about Tusk's personality, and it played up the whole, like, children hate reading type of thing, which has been played up since, I don't know, like, the 60s?
Yeah, played up forever.
Like, children hate reading, but Tusk fucking loves reading because he's a weird animal man from another dimension. So he goes to the library, but he can't read a map. So he ends up in a used bookstore with a crotchety old grandpa who pretends to break his arm and forces him to work in it. I end up giving like a description of the episode.
Yeah, well,
we're not supposed to do that.
Tusk tries to get kids to read and he fucks it up, but then he succeeds with the help of his friends. That's the real plot.
His friends wear goofy animal costumes that you can get at a dollar store.
Yes.
Which is hilarious.
I think I said this last week, I love the trope of the fish out of water has to get a job.
Oh, yeah.
Sort of thing in stories. Jiu-Ranger did it a little bit, and that Jiu-Ranger is doing it now is my favorite Jiu-Ranger.
Yeah, Tusk is like completely forced into it as well.
Yeah. He's guilted into it, yeah. And he has to work for this bookshop owner, who is a very funny character. He kicks everybody out of the bookshop because he doesn't want them... like, reading or taking pictures of the inside of the book. Or
like, he's horribly stereotyping them. Like, a girl comes in and he throws her out saying, "This isn't a cafe, you dumb broad!"
Yeah.
And then, like, a white guy comes in and he's like, "This isn't a tourist attraction!" And the white guy goes, "Why?"
Oh, the horrible oppression of whites in Japan.
Yeah.
Who will do something?
It was fucking hilarious. It was an actual white guy and, you know, straight to the way Japanese do it. He spoke English with a Japanese accent.
Yeah. Yeah. Probably a dude who doesn't actually speak English.
Probably. It sounded like he didn't know what he was saying, so...
Yeah. But it's... I like it. I always have mixed feelings whenever a TV show tries to preach for kids to read, because it's like... you're the problem. Like, but I did like one part a lot, is when Tusk goes to, he's like, "I gotta get kids to read, I gotta get some customers for this bookstore," and he goes to the park and he just starts, like, yelling aloud, that reading this book, and I groaned a little, I was like, "Oh, that's so lame," and then, very realistically, all the kids are like, "Well, this is fucking dumb, let's go play soccer."
There's
they all
the moment
him.
When he comes up and he's like, "Hey kids, come over here," like, I was, like, looking around, like, "Fuck, are the cops here, what's..."
Tusk, you can't do that.
You can't just yell for children to come out to you. That's not how it works.
All of the children get into this small little store, and we'll close the door, and I'll read you a book.
And all the children love a nice puppet show, even though it's not puppets. They like a live-action show. They go to a Super Sentai live-action stage show.
Yeah, the cheapest one ever made.
Those are the costumes that the Jiu-Ogers wear in stage shows.
It's a shoestring budget these days. The Jiro just come out and they do a big dance, and it gets all the kids interested in reading.
And like the kids are like stupid children, I understand. Yeah. But he transforms into an elephant man behind the rest of the Jiro-gers to hide it. And then when he's done, he turns back into a regular guy directly fucking in front of them while talking to them. And none of them react to it.
Kids are dumb.
Like, they're brain dead, though. They have no brain.
There was an A-plot about a scholarly monster who you have to hit his hat and he steals all language. I didn't care so much about that. Like, part for the course with Jiro, the monster is like, well, I'll take it or leave it. I want
to
see...
I thought that was actually a pretty clever way for the villains of the show to, like, conquer human beings.
Steal all their culture?
Yeah, steal their language, which is the basis of culture. Yeah. I felt like Genos should have been bored to tears by this, though.
Nobody's getting horribly murdered.
He's like, where's the explosions? Where's the huge body count? This is boring as fuck.
Oh, well. This is... No, you don't... It's a slow entropy of human emotion.
It's beautiful, isn't it? No, nothing's blowing up.
It's clever, but at the same time I feel like it's a little forced, as in like, oh, you won't be able to read. Children won't be able to read books and get into reading ever with this plan. Like, I just felt like
this is like a fucking Bookmobile sponsored episode.
It's too much into that message. I don't like it when they push a message.
They push a message every episode. It's fucking friendship.
Okay, that message is fine, but it's like, when you start talking about kids gotta read...
I rewatched Guardians of the Galaxy.
I did too, just last week, actually, yeah.
Did you watch it in a stream?
No.
Okay.
No, I just watched it myself.
I watched it last week in a stream.
Okay.
Perfectly legally. Fuck you, everyone.
In a stream in a movie theater that we paid for.
Of course.
The tickets.
And at the end of that movie, spoiler alert, skip ahead, I don't know, 45 seconds, if you don't want to be spoiled at the end of Guardians of the Galaxy. They defeat the big bad villain through the power of holding hands and friendship. And I laughed so fucking hard when I saw it again, but I still loved it, but... Well, because I was like, that's straight out of Super Sentai.
Because just like Jiro, it's you can forgive a cheesy ending like that because the cast is so likable.
Yeah,
it's a group of fun people.
At the beginning of this episode, when they're all posing in the opening, I was like, I guess it's coincidental that every Super Sentai team is made up of five extremely attractive young people.
Yeah, entirely coincidental.
I mean, I guess it makes sense for the Jiro-gers, since all of them, except for Yamato, are faking a face, so they could just choose it.
I guess. Why would they know what's attractive, though?
I don't know. Quit asking perfectly logical questions.
I wish all of them looked like animals in their human form. I guess that's hard to do, though.
Sayla looks like a shark, but everybody else...
I know, Sayla fucked up. But the others... They don't really look like...
No. Sayla legit looks like a shark, though.
She looks like she'll fucking eat your face.
Every time she gets mad, I'm like, oh, she's legit scary.
Don't bleed near her. Or else you're done.
Wouldn't that be a very special episode of Jiro-ger if, like, Yamato skinned his knee and she started, like, trying to fucking bite his leg off?
On a very special Dobutsu Sentai Jiro-ger.
If you get in the water, don't bleed!
Oh my god.
It was a great episode. It wasn't great, but it was really good.
It was a good episode.
I thought it didn't have enough of Tusk being a fish out of water with his job.
Yeah, you could have had one or two more scenes.
That would have like made it over the top. Like, I loved it, but I just really liked it.
That was what I came to see. Yeah, and there wasn't that much of it, but I liked him, and I liked the goofy sort of bookshop owner and his antics. And
I also loved that Leo can't draw worth a shit, but he's very expressive, so the uncle loves it.
Yeah,
and Sayla's all mad because she can draw like perfectly.
Well, it's artistically fucking... subjective.
It's bland. Jeff, her art is bland people. As fuck.
Yeah, her art is so boring. There's not even color.
His art is expressive.
Exactly.
So I liked it. Good episode.
Yeah, good 9 out of 10. Is that all we have to say about Jiro-ger?
That's all we have to say about Jiro-ger, I think. It was a one-off episode. It was fun. And any episode that focuses on a specific character is really good in Juojer. They're all good, really good, but they're especially good.
That's good.
Next week we get a Leo episode.
That's, I'll put up with that.
Leo's awesome. You know you fucking love Leo.
I like Leo. I like all the Juojers. I don't have a least favorite one, really.
Yeah, it's fun. It's funny that, like, near the beginning, I think we said that neither of us had much interest in Amu.
Yeah.
I think that's changed.
Amu has fleshed herself out, yeah.
Yeah, she's a really great character. She's usually the one who's, like, the quickest to think up new ideas and figure stuff out.
Yeah.
Which is not a very, like, she's pretty much the Pink Ranger. She's white, but she's pretty much the Pink Ranger.
Well, sometimes the Pink Ranger is white. That's how it goes.
Yeah, it's not really a Pink Ranger thing to be the quick-witted one.
Yeah.
At least not in my experience, so that's nice.
Yeah. Yeah, Amu's really coming to her. Like, she's got a lot of episodes that fleshed her out, or a couple episodes that, like, sort of showed that she wasn't just a total ditz. She's not just buying clothes and shit. She's got a little deeper side to her, which is really, really good to have in a show that's 50 episodes long. Just a little more depth to the characters.
I think that's an interesting thing about Juojer, is that even though the characters are, like, Super Sentai archetype characters...
Yeah, I mean, kind of all Super Sentai.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're, like, fleshed out enough that you can't describe them in just a couple words.
Yeah, not properly, yeah.
And I think that's the mark of a really good character. It can also be the mark of a really bad character if you can't describe their personality at all. Like, Takeru...
Like, Takeru is,
insert description here.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll ADR that shit in, I don't know.
Sure. A bitch! There we go.
There it is.
All the Juojers have multifaceted personalities, even if on the surface they seem very, two-dimensional.
Yeah.
And I think that's a mark of a good tokusatsu series.
You can look at them real quick and get a grip on who they are. And then as you watch the show, like, you get a solid grip and they're distinctive, and then as you watch the show, it digs a little further, and there's more meat there, which is perfect.
It's great.
Yeah.
I think that's all we have to say about Juojer, but this week we also watched Kamen Rider Amazons episode 4.
Oh, boy.
What'd you think of episode 4?
This is my favorite one so far, by a long shot.
Yeah. I don't know if I agree with that, but really? I loved it still. I'm not sure it's my favorite.
I really, really liked it, because it felt like a movie. It felt like you were watching, like, it's a very, very contained story of just... The setup from the last episode, if you remember at the end of it, was, oh, look, it's an apartment building and it's filled with ant Amazons.
Mm-hmm.
What do we do? And this episode is just all that, just dealing with that. They're trapped in the building, they gotta come up with a plan,
it reminded me a little bit of, like, Escape from Precinct 13.
Oh, I was getting a Raid Redemption vibe from it.
Dread is what it reminded me of, trapped
in a building movies, yeah. You know?
It's you're trapped in a building and your whole goal is, you have one specific goal.
Yeah.
And whether that goal is to get out of the building or to, like, exterminate a threat in the building.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it was a very focused episode with very focused action. And like you said, having that very specific goal in mind that they have to do, they gotta get the thing and shoot the gas through the building so they can kill all the animals at once, all the Amazons. And it really kept shit tight. It was a very tight episode. Not a whole lot of exposition, not a whole lot of world building.
And they were failing pretty horribly throughout all of it as well. Like, they were completely... It wasn't like a normal Kamen Rider where they stylishly get through whatever situation they're in and they might get knocked around a little. They were struggling with all of their fucking might the entire episode.
Yeah, and I think that's due to... Like, it's a strength that was set up early on with all the early character deaths. Is, like, every time an Amazon grabs a character and bites them, you're like, oh, are they gonna die now? Is this the time?
Yeah, and that happened to everybody in this episode.
Yeah, because it was a really dangerous situation. Amazon's got a lot of grit.
There was one particular moment, and I guess this might be a running theme, me finding one moment in the episode that takes me out of it.
Okay.
And it was when Amazon Alpha is giving his speech about, like, kill or be killed.
Yeah.
And Omega Haruka is kneeling on the ground while monsters bite into him. That was very, like, Kamen Rider TV show.
Yeah.
And that took me out of it a little bit, because it was so cinematic. And while that was happening, I was like, man, could he at least be like, arr, 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 or something? Like, he's overpowered and doesn't feel like fighting back, but he's still being bitten.
It feels like they're just kind of, like, putting their hands on his shoulder, or, like, resting their heads on his shoulder. Like, there's no, like, all I could think of is, like, shouldn't there be some sort of struggle going on here? They're just kind of, like, holding him.
I mean, they're making biting and chewing noises.
Yeah.
So they're biting him, but I don't know. It's sort of like the Kamen Rider TV show, where, like, trying to get across the feeling of the scene is more important than making the scene cohesive.
Yeah.
Which can be argued one way or another, but I feel like regardless of how important the emotion in your scene is, it should still be cohesive.
You could have had him giving the speech while Haruka was fighting, maybe, or...
Yeah. You could have had him give the speech while Haruka is, like, down on his knees on the ground.
Yeah,
and, like,
yeah,
the monsters are, like, circling him or something.
Yeah, if you want to slow it down, yeah, yeah. The way they did it could have been better, and like we said, there's a lot of digital blood splatter in this movie, which I hate, because it's so obvious.
It's so obvious, especially because it's not the right color.
Well, it's like black Amazon blood, right?
But it's not, it's like purple.
It's like purple. It just looks extremely out of place, and it's
it
like...
It does. It looks like the scene in one of the Hobbit movies, where the giant gold statue melts, and then like the...
Oh, Christ 19, in heaven.
Like the 1990s Goosebump gack flows over the scene. It looks exactly like that.
Yeah, the... Oh boy, those Hobbit movies. Yeah, it's just like real blood. Like, digital blood splatters have a place if they're far away.
Digital blood splatters should be far away. Absolutely. Yeah. If you're up close and personal in the camera, you can't just splash blood in front of the screen. It wasn't even coming from the right direction, ever. It just appeared in the corner of a screen.
When the violence was happening, yeah. A real squib can go a long way in a nice violence scene.
Did they not have, like, real squibs before?
Did they use squibs ever in Kamen Rider? Like, there's
I feel like it wasn't this obvious that it was digital blood in the past few episodes of Amazons.
Maybe there was just so much of it this episode, it was easier to notice. Because, like, the other episodes, this is a lot of
I noticed it immediately.
Violence. Yeah, that's true.
As soon as one of the monsters scratched somebody and it flew up on the screen, I was like, oh my god, that's awful.
It's really bad.
I guess that's all in the service of the story of the episode, and the story is handled very well. Haruka gets sort of a sidekick in this episode, since he's the main character anyway.
Are you talking about Mamoru?
Yeah, Mamoru, Mole Beast Man, Amazon, Beastman.
Yeah,
is his inspiration, but also kind of his sidekick, because he even does like the straight up Kamen Rider protagonist two sidekick line, like where he goes, Mamoru, ikuze.
Yeah, that's true. I didn't catch that.
They transform together, and then they fight the monsters, but he's inspired by Mamoru risking himself for his comrades. He wants to be that type of Amazon, because he didn't know that type of Amazon existed before.
Yeah.
And I feel like that was the best possible way to introduce the idea that he doesn't have to be a mindless beast to him.
Yeah, because Mamoru's been set up right from the start as, like, this perfectly nice, gentle guy.
Yeah, or like a sadistic killer like Alpha, whose name I can't remember.
Jin.
Yeah, Jin.
The big dickhead. Yeah.
Yeah, Jin's great. I love Jin, but he is a sadistic Amazon murderer who cares nothing for human life either.
Yeah, Alpha's the only nice Amazon.
Oh, so, yeah, Mamoru.
Yeah, I fucked it up. Mamoru is the only nice Amazon. Yeah. So bringing those two characters together is a it's a good way to develop Haruka.
There's also a fish out of water kind of thing for Haruka, because he's thrown into this like military surrounding. Where this close-knit team, he's suddenly thrown onto it and he's a part of it, and he sticks out like a sore fucking thumb when he's not an Amazon.
Because he doesn't know what the fuck is going on.
He doesn't know what the fuck's going on. He's wearing, like, penny loafers and a sweater. Like, he's just completely out of his element. And it's actually really nice visually to show where he's at mentally as well.
Some dude in khakis surrounded by these operator guys.
Speaking of, the operator guys are a fucking terrible squad. They're awful.
They like, keep they splitting just, up and getting attacked. And
they just keep leaving people. Like, yeah. Somebody gets hit, they just leave them.
Well, you know, maybe that's for the... Like, if you're being chased by 100 Ant Amazons and one guy gets grabbed, fuck that guy. Sorry.
Jesus. We have to run upstairs. They, like, slam a door shut on two of the guys that get dragged off.
Yeah. I'd keep running, too. I'd probably be screaming.
The fact that they keep splitting up is... It's not tactically advantageous to split up when you're surrounded by 138 monsters.
Well, they can't surround all of us if we split up.
Yes, they can.
Yeah, they can. It was just a... I guess it was just a way to make the rooftop scene a little more dire.
Yeah.
To get one of the Amazons out of there. So when Haruka goes down, it's like, oh, shit. It's just, stuff's getting serious. We need Alpha.
I love how Shino... Shido.
Who? I don't know that
The
person.
Leader. The guy who has his helmet down over one eye.
Okay,
at all
refer to them by their role on the team. I don't know any of their names.
Leaderman.
Leaderman with the helmet, okay.
Leaderman is like, has he always been this weak? And I was thinking the same thing when he was fighting the Queen Ant.
Yeah.
Also, the Queen Ant has nipples on her gross ant tits.
Did she? I didn't see that.
That's gross.
Between this and fucking Naria... There's boobies all over Toku nowadays.
Are they trying to make us not like boobies by making them horrible monster boobies?
Because
some people are real into that.
Maybe it's psychosexual imagery to entice young men to procreate.
Thanks, Mr. Fujioka. This has nothing to do with anything, but I played a game called Dante's Inferno.
Oh, fuck, I played that game too. Shit.
It's awful, for one. But when you get to a certain point, there's a giant woman with her tits out.
And babies come out of them, yeah.
And there are giant tongues hanging out of her nipples.
Yeah.
And if that didn't make me not want to see regular boobs, nothing will. So.
You see, everything in Japanese pop culture is secretly a ploy to get young men to want to have sex. It's all a
conspiracy.
It's
not working.
Well, they should step their game up.
Just show straight-up pornography on TV.
Yeah. Why not?
Why
do
not?
Do anything you can.
Just show it right after Kamen Rider.
Just daytime. Just who cares? Saturday mornings.
I see why Liam is not in control of TV Asahi.
You see why I'm not in control of a whole lot of things in my life or anyone else's.
Taking care of grandmothers, for one.
I'm not allowed near old folks' homes. I'm not allowed near TV stations.
He's been banned from playgrounds.
Oh, that's a little... Oh. It's because I tried to read to the kids too often.
He
like
was trying
anymore.
To read them the small-nosed elephant.
Distracting
you know
them
saying.
From their soccer. So yeah, do we have anything else to say about Amazon? Or?
Nobody died in this onslaught, which was amazing.
Well,
Nobody important died.
Yeah, the whole support team, well, two-thirds of them died and the last one got seriously wounded.
They were brought in specifically so they could have people die.
Yeah.
Like, we can't kill off any more of the main group.
We gotta kill some dudes, though. So it was good. It made the sequence a lot more brutal.
It was good. There's also, like, a camera in the girl team member's helmet.
Yeah.
And the boardroom are being forced to watch it by Scary Bossman.
Yeah, scary old man behind a screen, yeah.
Whose fucking shadow is still projected on the screen for absolutely no reason. But they're all like, woo, woo.
Oh, this sick first-person action. Oh, I can't handle it.
And the big boss man's like, you see the dire straits that we're in. You understand our situation. So yeah, I wonder what's going to come from that.
There's 4,000 of these things running around.
And I guess at the end of the episode, the leader man of the tactical squad knocks Jin the fuck out with a taser.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting.
So I'm guessing that Haruka's mom wanted him to capture Jin and bring him in.
Yeah.
So we'll see where that goes.
I like that it's still all about money. That's still a consistent character trait. There's a bit where a guy's picking up the Gigi armlets, and they're like, what the fuck are you doing? And he's like, we have to turn them all in for the bonus. We gotta get them all.
We need a proper count, is what he says.
We gotta count all 180 whatever of them, so we can get all our fucking money.
there is a scene specifically where they're talking about how much of a bonus they're going to get, and Haruka's like, do you guys just do this for money? And they're like, well, of course. Why the hell else would we be doing something so dangerous? And I guess we learned that Mamoru does it for cheeseburgers.
He does
it,
yeah, because he gets cheeseburgers literally airlifted to him as long as he keeps doing it. So this is as good a reason as any.
He gets cheeseburgers and friendship. That's all Mamoru cares about.
Yeah. It's not
bad. It's all anybody cares about, really, deep down.
Yeah, at your heart, yeah.
And he's such a good guy, he gives Haruka half of his fucking cheeseburger, even though he's only got one left.
What a kind soul.
He's such a great dude. Amazon's is consistently excellent.
Yeah, I can't believe it's, like, we're already... What is it? It's a 13-episode thing, right?
Yeah, episode 5's the next one.
So we're, like, almost a third of the way in. Or about a third of the way in, and it's still good. Nobody's fucked up yet, so.
We're starting to see Haruka take form as a character.
That's good. That's so good. His arc is happening before our eyes, and it's interesting.
As we complain about Takeru so much for being so inconsistent as a character, Haruka has been very consistent since the first episode. He is a very weak-willed, soft young man.
And unlike Takeru, who stayed that way, Haruka has a clear character path, and it's happening, like, it's tied together by very tight action scenes.
Well, there's, like, there's inconsistency with Takeru, where some episodes he'll be, like, a soft wussy man, and then other episodes he'll, like, come back from the Ganma world, and the sword lady's there, and she's like, we'll have our duel now, and he's like, fine! And then murders the fuck out of her.
I'll fucking kill you right here. Now there's a Kamen Rider I'd like to see.
He just threatens to murder every villain he comes across?
Every one.
I'm gonna put you in the fucking ground. Kamen Rider the Punisher.
Yeah, basically. That's American Kamen Rider. If they ever make it for adults.
Kamen Rider the Punisher, where he just uses guns.
No transformation or anything. No belt. He just uses guns.
Okay, they're making that series now. Netflix is. It's called The Punisher.
Oh, wow. That's a crazy coincidence.
Yeah, it's strange.
It's the best Kamen Rider adaptation I ever heard of.
Amazon's is doing great, and I'm enjoying the hell out of it.
I think so as well.
So now that we're done talking about it, why don't we look at some of our emails?
Okay.
Our first email is from Dexter.
So?
Who says, first off, that he would like a JoJo podcast.
Me too.
But he would worry that we would get into parts he hasn't seen or read, because he's just watched the anime and he's just started reading part 4.
Yeah, you should read that shit. It's good. Read it all the way up to part 8. It's worth it.
His question is, when adaptations are concerned, like Kamen Rider the First or Next, or any adaptations really, it doesn't have to be Kamen Rider, why is it that the ones that stray the most from their source material are traditionally seen as worse? Does this mean that we as a community don't like original ideas?
I'm going to say that if you're going to adapt an idea, then adapt the idea. Don't go too far. Don't lose the core of it. You can change around the core, but don't lose the core is the thing. And the First and the Next completely, utterly fucking lost the core.
There's a tightrope you have to walk when you're adapting something. You can't just adapt it 100% like the source material, because it's if it's exactly the same, what is the point of adapting it?
Yeah.
I mean, it could be just as different as, like, a slightly different visual aesthetic. Or characters having more screen time or less screen time, more focus on a bit of a subject or something, but... I feel, for the most part, like you said, if you're adapting something, people are watching it because they like that thing. They want to see that thing in a different medium.
Yeah.
And if you... It's not that people don't like originality, because, like, original concept movies do really well.
Well...
Well, think about stuff that, like, blew up when it came out and was original, like Avatar. That's an original concept, sort of, I guess. It depends on whether you think plagiarism counts
depends
or not.
On whether you saw Pocahontas or not, but yeah.
But it was an original concept, and it's the highest grossing movie of all time.
Is Avatar number one right now?
I don't know if it still is, but
it's like 2-point-something billion. It's like almost 3 billion.
Yeah, it was for a certain period of time. So it's ludicrous. Not that... When it comes to Kamen Rider fans, I think there hasn't been enough adaptations to really...
Yeah, most of the Kamen Rider movies are, like, extended show episodes.
Yeah, and the ones that are, like, standalone movies are original movies. They're not based on anything.
Yeah, I'm not sure, like...
When it comes to original concepts and stuff, like, people who enjoy Kamen Rider's Black might also really... It seems like they do, for the most part, the ones that have seen both. They love Kamen Rider Black, but they also love the Kamen Rider Black manga, which has nothing to do with the TV show.
Yeah.
And the manga's like an adaptation of the show, but it's nothing like the show.
Like, if you're gonna be nothing like what you're adapting, at least just fucking make it good. That's all.
Yeah, being good is what matters more than whether it's close to the source material or not.
It's like we talked about this before, but there's a manga called Pluto.
Mm-hmm.
It's one arc of Astro Boy. If you know Astro Boy, it's about a robot boy and he flies around, he fights robots, and he protects fucking he's
protects
like a super
the world.
Robot kid. Yeah,
yeah.
And he manga dude reimagined an arc of it as a murder mystery, and it's really gritty and it's really dark and it's completely different
from Astro Boy himself. Only shows up in it a couple times.
Yeah, it stars a totally different character. It's totally different, and it loses the core, like I said earlier. It loses the core, but it's fucking good. And it's like you can come at it after having read Astro Boy and pick out all the little things that he took mm-hmm. and extended, and you can appreciate it more having seen it as an adaptation. So it's just make it good and include little things for fans to see. But if you want to make a really successful adaptation, like a straight adaptation, then you need to at least have the core intact.
It also depends on whether that adaptation has a lot of hype surrounding it, as if it's going to be the only adaptation.
Yeah, it's true.
Like, the live-action Dragon Ball movie comes to mind, where it was the only Dragon Ball movie that was ever going to be.
Yeah.
And then the writer was fucking terrible.
The writer made a formal apology for that just recently.
As he should.
I appreciate it.
That poor man, though.
He just took
a job. He just wanted money. He took a job. He knew nothing about Dragon Ball, and he's gotten death threats.
You know, it's a mistake that any of us could have made, really, but...
Yeah.
What can you do? I'm so sorry.
He was very sorry. When it comes to, like, adapting a source material, if it's good, it's fine, regardless of how close it is to the source material. The thing that immediately comes to mind when I think of that is Guardians of the Galaxy. We talked about it earlier.
Yeah.
Guardians of the Galaxy, besides having the same names of characters in it, has almost nothing to do with the comic book series that it's based on.
Well, like, plot-wise, it doesn't really have much to do, but it's about, like, a team of guys or a team of people
in
space.
Well, those people don't have the same personalities, and they don't have the same backstories.
That's true, yeah.
Like, Star-Lord in the comics was, like, a galactic policeman who'd fallen on hard times and given up his position.
Yeah.
And the Star-Lord in the movie is a thief.
Yeah, he's an
And they have an entirely different backstory, but that's not really what matters. What matters is how good the characters are, how good the story is, and how interesting and how much it keeps you wrapped up in it.
Yeah, I guess the core isn't really as important as I was making it out to be. I mean, it's good to
have.
That's
just an example of something that's so good it makes you not mind.
Yeah.
The only thing that still bugs me is that Star-Lord's helmet doesn't have a top.
Yeah, it's just got his hair out there.
It's silly.
I really, really like Star-Lord's comic, like his traditional comic book outfit.
Yeah,
with like
he doesn't
the
have that anymore.
I really like that suit. But...
He wears the movie costume now, but that suit from the comic was a million times better than the movie costume.
Cool, it's a really cool mask and all that shit.
Yeah, it's one of the coolest costumes in comics, I'd say.
Yeah. Oh, well.
It's neither here nor there. The only adaptations from Kamen Rider that I can think of off the top of my head are the first and the next, and they fail because they would fail regardless of the involvement of Kamen Rider in them.
Because, like, you can look at the first and the next and say they're bad because they have nothing to do with the original, and it's partially true, but they're also just really fucking bad as their own movie.
They fail on their own merits.
Yeah.
The fact that they're not living up to something doesn't... factor in as much as the fact that it's just bad.
It's like if you have a Superman story, and it's Superman's a big, huge asshole, and both of his parents are big, huge assholes, and he just broods and is angry the whole time. That's not what you want to see in Superman.
You know what would really ruin it as well is if at the end he murdered a man.
Oh, yeah. Jesus, I'm so glad we'll never get a Superman adaptation like
that. It's really good that we don't ever have to suffer through that.
Yeah, I don't live in that universe. That's good. do we have any more emails?
He does have a second question where he asks, if you read a manga for... It doesn't have anything to do with Kamen Rider.
Okay.
He said, if you read a manga and an anime is coming out based on it, very close to the episodes coming out, since you already know the plot of it from the manga, do you feel like the episode is now hollow, even though you've technically not seen the episode yet?
I don't fucking watch anime. What do you think, I'm a nerd?
I don't give a shit about the anime of a manga. I'd much rather read the manga.
I always just read the manga. I ignore the anime every time.
Like, I'm not watching Dragon Ball Super. I'm reading it.
I'm not doing neither. I tried to watch Dragon Ball Super. I was excited for it. And then I found out the manga was updating monthly, and the episodes were weekly. So the episodes would have four episodes about, like, Vegeta's family vacation. And
The episodes are the two movies.
Are they?
Yeah, they're just the movies.
Oh my god.
They just chopped them up into episodes and changed some things.
Why would you do that?
I don't know. People will buy shit from it.
I have not been following Dragon Ball Super.
Also, the animation in Dragon Ball Super is fucking heinous.
Yeah, you've probably all seen that, all those clips that came out.
Well, there's a shot of they summon the Super Shenron, the Super Dragon.
Jesus Christ, yeah.
And it just, like, it's like somebody grabbed the edge of a JPEG and just, like, upscaled it, is how it appears.
What do you mean, just, like, he's all pixelated and he's got artifacts all over
him? No, I mean, like, when you upscale an image and it just grows out in that direction.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's how it happened in the show. It's finished animation. I don't really run into that because I don't... If I'm reading a manga, I don't really care about the anime.
No, yeah, me neither.
I mean, I've watched some of the JoJo anime and I've enjoyed it and everything, but I'd much rather read it.
Yeah, you get the crisp art. You don't have to worry about animation quality.
You don't have to worry about a character having a terrible voice that you hate.
Yeah, it's
true. Or anything like that.
Yeah, you just read it and enjoy it. I like that more.
So hopefully that answered your questions, even though neither of us could speak to what you were talking about.
Just make the adaptation good.
When it comes to the anime episodes based on a manga, if they extrapolate on scenes in a fun way.
Yeah, I guess, yeah.
That can be interesting. Otherwise, what's the point? Our next email is from Belf.
Oh boy.
Coming out of the ether. It's Belf.
What's up?
He says, "Greetings, guys. Tolerating the podcast as always."
Oh, thanks, bud.
What a fucking asshole. Just a quick question that's probably been answered before, but why the fuck did you think a bunch of nerds would want to listen to us talk about Kamen Rider?
Dear Rider Club Radio, who do you think you are?
That's legitimately your question, isn't it? Who do you think you are?
We just started recording ourselves talking, and then we showed people, and now it's
we absolutely didn't start out doing this thinking that we would get listenership.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, when I started doing it, I did an episode by myself just because I was bursting at the seams to talk about Gaim had just ended.
Oh, yeah. There are two lost episodes of Rider Club Radio that no one will ever see.
I guess if you were really sleuthy, you might be able to still find them. I don't know if I took them down or not.
Yeah, they're floating around out there.
They're god-awful. I put on like a terrible I put on like a terrible Radioland voice when I was talking on the first episode. I was like, well, this is what I think about it. I fucking hate it. Anyway, I did it by myself because I just wanted to talk about it. And I thought maybe I could spark some communication in the community. And I didn't because no one listened to it. And I did the second episode with somebody I could bounce it off with. Old third wheel of Rider Club Radio, Tomaz, was the original second wheel.
Yeah.
And it was much better with him, but it was still awful. And then I started doing it with Liam just so I could talk to somebody about Kamen Rider.
Just Jeff was lonely, and I decided to record our discussions secretly without him knowing.
That's why the original episodes have me still fucking introducing and everything. I just do that when I talk to Liam. I did Rider Club Radio because I just wanted to talk about Kamen Rider. I didn't really have people I could talk.
We had zero expectations going into this.
Yeah. I still have zero expectations. If nobody listens to a new episode and we just fall off the planet, I don't think that would surprise me.
Yeah, that's business as usual.
Fuck you.
So on Rider Club
Radio is great.
On that note, do you want to end this episode?
Yeah, sure. We have an email that you could send your emails to. That's riderclubradio@gmail.com. We'll answer them on the air.
We have a Twitter also. That's at Rider Club Radio. Follow us on Twitter. Shoot us a tweet.
Yeah, if you follow us on Twitter and send us a question before we record, we'll answer that as well. And also you can... I feel like Twitter's the only place I'm posting these shirts at $14. Everybody else is going to have to pay $20.
Oh.
So, because after 3 days, the splash image shirts are going to be $20 after the sale's over. So if you want to get shirts for $14 with Kamen Rider on them, follow us on Twitter.
You'll get the newest shirts first. If you like, it's the splash image art that's on all the YouTubes and on the top of the banner.
Yeah, man, I'm a fucking whore. I've whored twice.
Let's do it.
Shilled out twice in this episode.
Let's make some fucking money on this thing.
You can find our Patreon, Rider Club Radio.
Give us your shit.
We make -$700 a month. Thanks for listening, everybody. If you don't give us any money, then I guess that's fucking alright. Long as you listen.
I guess you're not a true fan.
See you next week, everybody.
Goodbye.
By the way, did you see the new Power Rangers movie costumes?
Yeah, they fucking sucked.
Yeah, I know, right?